Well, good morning, and thank you all for being here to share the Dharma together. Can you all hear me back there?
We have no
amps or speakers today, so I will try to project. But we'll see how it goes. There'll always be the recording that you can check out later. And a special welcome to those who were at our seminar yesterday. Thank you all for coming as well. As was said, when listening to a teisho, just become the listening. Don't try to analyze or figure out what the heck is this guy going on about. Accept the teisho as the ocean accepts a river. Let it flow into you and just be open, listen to it with an open heart and an open mind. And of course, please feel free to change your posture as you need to, but please do so quietly and unobtrusively. Dogen's fundamental teaching is just this: dropping away of body and mind, and then the dropping away of dropping away. All else is commentary. This is not to say that commentary isn't useful or important. The commentaries and techniques can be tremendously helpful in our practice. Dropping away of body and mind, the deep samadhi, where nothing stirs, not even the awareness that nothing stirs. But if that's the case, then how is Dogen able to walk into his teacher Ru Jing's room, offer incense, and say, body and mind dropped away? And Ru Jing replies, you have dropped away, dropping away. Dogen saying, body and mind dropped away, is in that moment the dropping away of dropping away. Dropping away of body and mind, what we call enlightenment, oneness, emptiness, even nirvana. Dropping away, beyond even enlightenment. What could possibly be beyond enlightenment? Enlightenment is one of those words that carries so much baggage. A lot of it stemming from the drugged out insanity of the 1960s and 70s. So besides enlightenment, what can we say? Nirvana? Same problem. Emptiness, the void, the ground of being, Buddha nature, self nature, essential nature, and so on. All have their strengths and weaknesses. But are we really looking for just another abstract idea or image? Are we trying for transcendence of this world? That sounds like some kind of escape. And what of dropping away, dropping away? For some years now, we have ended almost every teisho with the phrase, together with all beings, we realize the way. Realizing the way. What does that mean? What exactly do we realize? What is it to realize anything? How do we realize enlightenment, or the self-nature, or any of those abstractions? How can we get beyond enlightenment itself? Realize is an interesting word. It can mean several things. Realization is full awareness or understanding. How many times has a student asked in Doksan, what did the monk realize? It can mean the fulfillment of something anticipated. Our fondest dreams or worst fears are realized. It can mean giving something a concrete, palpable form. Our new temple beautifully realizes our aspirations as a Sangha. Concrete and palpable form. Now maybe we're getting somewhere. What is the point of practice if it is not enlightenment? It is not escape or transcendence. It is realization. What is it to realize the great truth of things? To realize, realize, is to make real, to make all things concrete and real in the most profound way. What is there to realize in any of the aforementioned abstractions? Abstractions are abstractions. You can't realize them. We can only realize this moment. Realization doesn't transcend anything. It encompasses form, emptiness, delusion, enlightenment, relative, absolute, and they are not separate. We realize, make real, the great truth of and in each and everything. We realize life and death in this moment. Case number 40 in the Blue Cliff Record reads, Lu Xuan, a high government official and disciple of Nan Chuan, while talking with Nan Chuan said, Masters of the teaching Zhao said, Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance. Isn't that marvelous? Nan Chuan pointed to a flower in the garden, called to the official and said, People these days see this flower as though they were in a dream. Nan Chuan invites the official and us to realize a flower. How do you realize a flower? How do you realize a Palisades peach? Here's a hint. You don't just sit there and look at it. Bite off a piece. Taste it. Chew it. Savor it. Swallow it. Experience the physical form of it. Until then, is a peach really a peach? It is by the action that the peach is realized, made real. One of our introductory koans reads, How do you swallow all the water in the Platte River? Yeah, how do you realize all that water? A pen is realized in the writing. A shoe in the walking. A bicycle is fully realized in the riding. Here's what Dogen has to say about the matter. Life is like a time when I am on a boat, on board a boat. When I am on this boat, I manipulate the sails, I handle the rudder, I push the punting pole. At the same time, the boat is carrying me along, and there is no I that is outside this boat. My sailing in a boat is what makes this boat be a boat. You need to do your utmost to explore this through your training. What is going on at this very moment? For at this very moment, there is nothing other than the world of the boat. The sky, the water, the shore have all become this moment of the boat, which is completely different from occasions when I am not on the boat. Thus, life is what I am making life to be, and I am what life is making me to be. While being carried on a boat, my body and mind, their inner causes and outer conditions are all together, a part of the way a boat functions. The whole of the great earth and the whole expanse of space are likewise a part of the way a boat functions. The whole of the great earth and the whole expanse of space, each thing, each phenomenon, each dharma truly realized includes all dharmas truly realized. In Song of Enlightenment, Yongjia writes, "One complete nature passes to all natures. One universal dharma encloses all dharmas. One moon is reflected in many waters. All the water moons are from the one moon." I would amend that to say that all the water moons are the one moon. Case 61 in the Blue Cliff Record reads, "Feng Shui said to the assembled monks, 'If one particle of dust is raised, the state will come into being. If no particle of dust is raised, the state will perish.' Shui Do, at a later time, raising his staff, said to his disciples, 'Is there anyone among you who can live with this and die with it?' If you realize one particle of dust, you realize the universe. All comes into being fully realized. Realize one, realize all. If you do not realize one particle of dust, all perishes and you are lost in confusion. To turn it around, if you do not realize the universe, you cannot realize even a particle of dust." And Shui Do asks, "Can you live with it and die with it? What is this it that we must realize? Can you realize the universe? Can you show me your realization of the universe in this moment?" Alan Watts once said that there is more spirituality in a tomato than there is in such high-flown phrases as Buddha nature pervades the whole universe. Well, how do you realize a tomato? How can you realize Buddha nature pervading blah, blah, blah? Buddha nature doesn't pervade anything. If we have to use a term, say that everything is Buddha nature. No pervading is necessary. Here's a story from my favorite Zen scripture, a little book entitled Zen Flesh, Zen Bones by Nyogen Senzaki and Paul Reps. Kechu, the great Zen teacher of the Meiji era, was head of Tofuku, a cathedral in Kyoto. One day, the governor of Kyoto called upon him for the first time. The attendant presented the card of the governor, which read, "Kitagaki, governor of Kyoto." "I have no business with such a fellow," said Kechu to his attendant. "Tell him to get out of here." The attendant carried the card back with apologies. "That was my error," said the governor. And with a pencil, he scratched out the words, "Governor of Kyoto." "Ask your teacher again." "Oh, is that Kitagaki?" exclaimed the teacher when he saw the card. "I want to see that fellow." Kechu had no interest in the abstraction of governor. He wanted to see, to realize fully, Kitagaki, a flesh and blood human being. To realize is to make real. The only place we can do that is in this moment. Dogen considers the realization of the boat to be action. In the action of this moment, we realize ourselves. All beings realize themselves in the action of this moment. I realize the peach The peach realizes the peach. The peach realizes me. Realization. Realizes. Realization. But the realization of the boat is different from your realization of the zafu upon which you sit. Yet each encompasses the universe. And you're sitting here. You must explore the moment of the zafu, the mat, the stiffness in your limbs, the zendo, your fellow practitioners, the sounds of the traffic. Dogen also wrote, firewood becomes ash, and ash does not become firewood again. Yet do not suppose that the ash is future and the firewood is past. You should understand that firewood abides in the phenomenal expression of firewood, which fully includes past and future, and is independent of past and future. Ash abides in the phenomenal expression of ash, which fully includes future and past. Each dharma, each particle of dust, abides in its own dharma position or phenomenal expression in this moment that includes past and future. We are the same. When we realize ourselves in this moment, we realize past and future. But in this moment, we are free of past and future. There is no one timeline, no one time. There is your time, past and future, my time, past and future, and many, many, an infinite number of times and timelines, all in the present moment. Since each aspect, each dharma, has its own past and future in this moment, we cannot say that anything is transmitted from one moment to the next. Each moment is complete in itself. It receives nothing from the past and gives nothing to the future. In sitting, you realize you're sitting. The zafu you sit on is fully realized and you're sitting. So is the mat, the floor, this building, the earth, the sky, and the stars. Your realized sitting extends throughout all time and all space. Realization is the activity of body and mind. Thus, realization does not abandon the intellect. That may change your notion of samadhi. Dead void sitting or zoning out doesn't realize anything. Is seeing something from a distance or only thinking about it a no realization or a partial realization? In that moment, what you see or think is also it, whole and complete. A mountain in the distance fully realizes mountain in the distance. The thought of a mountain fully realizes the thought of a mountain. The same is true of chairs, cars, children, clouds, and stars. However, you must be careful not to confuse the thought of a mountain with mountain in a distance, or mountain in the distance with the mountain you climb. They are not the same. And where is birth and death in all this? How do we realize death? To realize death as something apart from life is not possible. They are not and never have been separate. No more can we realize life as apart from death. The only thing we realize is this moment, this timeless, spaceless moment. But that realization only happens in the process of letting go. To realize life, we have to let go of life. To realize death, we have to let go of death. This separated self is what was born and will die, will disappear. To let go of that self is to let go of birth and death. Here's Dogen again. It is an established way in Buddha Dharma to deny that birth turns into death. Accordingly, birth is understood as no birth. It is an unshakable teaching in Buddha's discourse that death does not turn into birth. Accordingly, death is understood as no death. Birth is an expression complete in this moment. Death is an expression complete in this moment. Once again, Dogen denies any notion of a timeline. Like all phenomena, the moment of birth fully includes past and future and is free of past and future. The moment of death fully includes past and future and is free of past and future. Every moment abides complete in and of itself, free of past and future. This is where I was originally going to end this day show. But just over a week ago, we lost our Dharma brother, George Matthews. In spending time with him during his last days and hours, I learned the great lesson all over again. This realization is nothing more nor less than our day-to-day, moment-by-moment life as it is. And I went back to case 25 of the Blue Cliff Record. The master of Lotus Flower Peak held up his staff and showed it to his disciples, saying, "When the ancients got here, why didn't they remain?" There was no answer from the assembly, so he answered for them, "Because it is of no use in everyday life." And again he asked, "What will you do with it?" And again he himself answered in their place, "Taking no heed of others, I place my staff across my shoulders. I go straight into the deep recesses of the myriad peaks." We cannot stop here. Where is this here? Whatever insight we gain from our practice is useless if we stop here or anywhere. Insight, even what we might call enlightenment, is not something to sit back and admire. Insight by itself is of no use in everyday life. No matter how deep you might think your insight, no matter how clearly you think you see, do not stop. Continue, just continue. How? In his commentary to case 44 in the Wu Men Guan, Wu Men says of this staff, "It helps you cross the river when the bridge is broken down. It accompanies you when you return to the village on a moonless night." Yes, the staff is there to help, to support, to see us through the hard times. Is it a surprise to anyone that George Matthews' Dharma name is Mountain Staff? No one in our Sangha was more ready to step in, to help, to support, to encourage. And as the master of Lotus Flower Peak admonishes, he did not stop. George continued his work, activity realization of the Dharma. And Doksan, many Sishin, and in his life, always continuing, always moving forward, he carried his staff fearlessly into the myriad peaks. He stepped into whatever helping role came up, whether it was Sishin Tenzo, Zazen instructor, head of Zendo, clouds and water coordinator, ceremony coordinator, and at last, assistant teacher. He never stinted. His leadership kept clouds and water on track, and he shifted the emphasis from an inward-looking self-cultivation and direction to one of continuous outward awareness and service. So, partly in acknowledgement of the changing orientation, and partly in memory of George, our service organization that began many years ago as Monastery Without Walls continued as clouds and water, will henceforth be known as Mountain Staff Practice. This Mountain Staff Practice Mountain Staff Practice is the activity realization of great Dharma. So, this realization is going beyond Buddha, going beyond enlightenment. It's the 10th Oxfording picture. The dusty, bare-chested monk entering the marketplace with bliss-bestowing hands. It is the realization of life and death. George had no fear of death because he had no fear of life. He realized both completely. So here's a capping verse for George. Life completely realized, completely abandoned. Death completely realized, completely abandoned. Wind blows, sun shines, tears fall. The little dog wags its tail. All is complete. Together with all beings, we realize the way.